Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to our 150th episode. This is the Draft Doctors, and we thought we'd do something special, and we've brought it back for the second year. It's our Fantasy BNF show, where we get all the greatest minds of fantasy football out there in Australia, and we get their hot takes on who they think is going to be the number one player in their respective fantasy forms. And as always, on the show is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm pretty ordinary, actually. I'm dealing with a bit of gastro. Just come not real great at all. But yeah, the people wanted this show, Jono. It was a very popular show last year. I think we had some ripping picks, some not so great picks, but some absolutely ripping picks. And I just want to say a very, very happy birthday to Young's baby Fizz, who turned two yesterday. We went to the zoo. It was a fantastic day. She was a bit confused, though, because there was giraffes and lions and tigers. And usually when we tell her we're going to the zoo, there's just kittens and puppy dogs down at the local pet shop. We're very poor people, so she was very impressed to go to the actual zoo. Scared as hell of the elephants, though. Very scared. Terrified.
Scared of the elephants. Okay, when I was a kid, I was scared of the butterfly hut. Hated going in there. I don't know.
And sleeps with the lion on.
You can hear... is our man on the ground in Tasmania. It is a Statesman. Welcome to you.
Gentlemen, I have a Stremple.
Far away.
Another one. Jeez.
The Stremple is actually at myself because I simply have been so busy and so happy that I haven't got a Stremple. That's a lack of preparation, gentlemen.
I can think of plenty of reasons.
That's Stremple, two and shots.
That's
that's two shots. Or let's go, gentlemen. That's five shots.
Oh, God.
Maybe for Wednesday's pod, it could be a Stremple because the production might not be high. But moving on, if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. We've got the Facebook page there. Search The Draft Doctors on Facebook. And we've got the websites. The first one is thedraftdoctors.com, thedraftdoctors.com.au. And we've also got the mock website, which has been going gangbusters. The fans love it. You can check that out at mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. But it is our Fantasy BNF show. We've got the brightest minds of fantasy football here in Australia, giving us their hot takes on who they think is going to be the best player of the year. And we're going to kick it off by going back in time to the WA boys of the OTLS, Zeno and Archie, and they're going to give us their hot takes on the players for this year.
Hello, avid Draft Doctors listeners. It's Zeno from Over the Line Sports here, and firstly, I would like to thank the Draft Doctors for again having me on. As Statesman would say, with WA being so far behind everybody else in the world, it's an honour to come to you from last week. On that note, I have a guy that could become a great sneaky pickup for you this year in your drafts. Now, who are we talking about? We are going to talk about one of my boys, Sam Petrescu-Seaton from the Carlton Football Club. He was taken at number 6 by Carlton in the 2016 draft, and is coming into his second year at the Blues, of course. He's going to be one to get a hold of. And let's put all that into perspective and why. Samo missed most of the preseason in 2017. And we were actually shocked when he was actually named round one. Coming off about 2 weeks of training, and it did not worry this young gun a bit, not in the slightest. Coming out of his first three games, he had AF scores of 65, 64 and 93, and Supercoach scores of 59, 51 and a monster 116. Just wasn't a problem for Samo. In fantasy, as a first year rookie, he managed to have 8 scores over 75 and 3 over 90. And in Supercoach, he managed 7 scores over 75 and 6 over 90. Had high scores of 105 in fantasy and 134 in Supercoach. He did tire at times throughout the season, coming off no preseason, and did rest once or twice. However, he finished on averages of 68 in both formats. And in saying that, he still only missed 2 games for the entire year. Now, I go back to stressing that that is all from a first-year rookie averaging 68 with no preseason. Samo has been back on the track since November in full swing and is yet to miss a beat. Just think, if he can do what he did last year with no pre-season, the sky is the limit this year. And even better news, you can get him as a forward. Samuel's going around the 35th to 40th picked forward in standard drafting right now. In an 8-coach, 5-man forward line scenario, he's sitting there at F4 or F5 straight after the draft. Bolton recently came out and said that the Blues will be a lot more attacking this year and pushing to the mids to kick a lot more goals. That's one tick. Gibbs has opened up a full-time spot for him in the midfield, so that's the second tick. He's coming off a full pre-season, which is tick 3, and you can get him late in the draft as a F4 or F5, which is tick 4. So the big question, what could he realistically score? Look, coming off a season based on a 68, where he had obviously little to no pre-season, there will be no surprises at all if he can't jump up 15 to 20 points. He could quite comfortably go 85 points or more. Even a 12-point increase to 80 points, based on an 8-coach draft, he's sitting at F3, maybe F4. 85 points, he's sitting up at probably an F2 position for you by season end. You're getting him at pick 140th, but he is worth pick 70. There is win-win. The kid can play, and Bolts knows that. He will be getting plenty of it, and boy, does he love a tackle. So keep an eye on him. If you see him slip, get on, because the ride will be a good one. So to finish up, thanks again, Draft Doctors, for having me on again this year. You guys have had an absolute blinder start to the year. Without a doubt, the go-to guys for everything draft and fantasy. Guys, best luck for the year. Hope to talk soon.
Yeah, look, obviously you're talking my language when you talk in SPS. I love the pick from Zano. A bit of a worry we've only seen him for like 20 minutes in the preseason, but I think you're getting him so late in your draft. It doesn't really matter. I love the pick. You know, what can you say? I see all the upside in the world. Very highly talented player. First year was awesome. Don't know about your Matt Kennedys. Ed Curnow's getting a bit long in the tooth. I don't know that the Charlie Curnow experiment through the midfield will be a super success this year. So I like a guy with a fair bit of pace, and he's the sort of player Carlton need to actually move the ball, because I think that's going to be one of their main issues this year.
Well, he had the tackling pressure as well. Love the tackling pressure from him.
And he had a quite impressive first season that wasn't based on any pre-season at all. He just basically rolled out after a couple of training sessions and bang, yeah, welcome to AFL footy. So imagine what he's going to be like when he's actually got that pre-season under him. So we could see some special efforts from him this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that X-factor star power is what you're looking for. Get him in that as a F3, F4. You'd be well on your way to winning your drafts with that pick.
Hey guys, it's Archie here from Over the Line Sports. Big thanks to the Draft Doctors for inviting me to be on the podcast again this year. Last year, as you all know, I was quite happily hanging out on Sheed Island, and it was a beautiful place to be. This year, I'm leaving Sheed Island and I'm getting aboard the Duggan train. The similarities between these two players are striking. Both were picked by the Eagles with pick 11 in their respective drafts. Heading into last year, Sheed had played 39 games over 3 seasons. Heading into this year, Duggan has played 46 games in 3 seasons. And both have been solid without being spectacular over their first few years. Like Sheed, Duggan has increased his AFL fantasy average in each of his first 3 seasons from mid-40s to mid-50s to mid-60s. And again, like Sheed last year, I'm expecting a 20 points per game jump for Duggan towards the end of the year. The best news is that in all formats of the game, he is listed as a defender. Now, this may be the last year where this happens, as his midfield time will greatly increase with the departures of Mitchell and Matt Prittis, and with Chris Maston and a few others now borderline best 22. You should actually be able to pick him up quite late in a draft, unless you're drafting against me or another overzealous Eagles supporter. Even if you do miss him in the draft, though, keep him on your radar, because, look, my prediction is that he will start slowly and build his score over the season as Simpson and the Eagles work out this new midfield dynamic. After 4 or 5 rounds, you may actually be able to send a low ball offer to the owner of Duggan in your league. And by the end of the year, I reckon he'll be good for an 80 average in fantasy with a best case scenario of a 90 average. Now, that's not going to be for the season. That's going to be what he's going to be scoring, I reckon, over the last, say, 7 or 8 weeks. So if all the stars align, by the end of the season, he could end up being the 6th or 7th highest averaging defender for the season. Look, it's unlikely, but it's not impossible, and he does have a huge upside. So if you want to get on board the hashtag Duggan Train, please hit me up on Twitter at OTLSArchie. The train is fully decked out with flat-screen TVs showing AFL 24/7. We've got the finest chefs in the world and a fully stocked bar full of all the great alcoholic beverages you could want. We've even got a whole carriage full of cask wine just for the Statesman. You're welcome, mate. Thanks again to the Draft Doctors for indulging me about an Eagles player, and congratulations to you guys on the successful launch of your amazing mock draft site. I know I've been spending far too much time on it these last couple of weeks. It is a thing of beauty. Good luck for the season in 2018, and happy drafting.
Well, no surprise, Archie, you've gone a WA boy. Awesome. The boy from Bunbury doesn't travel far. Liam Duggan, look, very interesting call, to be honest, because in the other formats, the salary formats, he was in my starting, every single one of my starting squads. But it's fair to say after the preseason, he's probably dropped out. Now, after the last JLT match where West Coast weren't great against Fremantle, he ended up being their top scorer. So I'm hopeful that that's what we're actually going to see out of him, that mid-80s average as a defender. But we've been expecting a little bit from Duggan. He just hasn't really delivered it yet. It could be a really good call. It's from left field. And if you've got it right, you need a big tick in the box there, Archie. I'm not with you at this stage, but I hope we do see some really good players come out of West Coast, and Liam Duggan seems to be the one that should be ready for a breakout.
Yeah, it's hard to get a read on the West Coast team because they've played such an inexperienced team. We haven't seen them at full flights. We did see him playing the back role as that general, as you'd like to call it. He got all the points, but what's it going to be like come round one?
Yeah, I'm interested in Duggan. I'm not sure that he'll, you know, be a top 15 defender, but I think he'll be a solid defender. And yes, you'll get him very late. They obviously rate him. They made him captain of their highly prestigious inaugural, what was that thing called? AFLX team. So
that's it.
You know, if you're getting those sort of titles, the club obviously rates you pretty highly. It's going to be interesting though, because I've actually really been impressed with Jetta off half back. If he had forward status, I'd be all over him. He looked fantastic. So I don't know. I like Liam Duggan. I've kept him in my keeper league, I'll put it that way.
And it's especially great to hear this guy's voice. It's MJ from the coaches panel. Thank you very much for helping us out. And it's great to hear you back on the air.
Hey, it's MJ from the coaches panel. The player I've chosen as my best and fairest for drafts in 2018 is Brisbane Lion Alan Christensen. If you play the salary cap formats of the game, he's real popular in that format. Hang on, I just mentioned salary caps on the Draft Doctors. Forgive me, for I have sinned. The reason he's so popular is he's crazy cheap because he didn't play a game in 2017. But when you look at his numbers, he's actually, when on the park, a really good scoring option. From 2013 to 2015, he was delivering numbers that were pushing right on the ledge of being a premium force in the forward line. 86, 82 and 83 for Dream Team and Fantasy during those 3 years, while in Supercoach, 92, 90 and 86. Those are brilliant numbers to be getting at a guy that you should be looking to draft in the teen rounds. Potentially, you could pick him up as your last on-field forward, or if you're even lucky, as your bench cover. How good would that be? Now, I know some of those numbers were back at Geelong, but in 2015, his first year at Brisbane, he averaged 83 in Dream Team and Fantasy, 86 in Supercoach, 22 games, and there was plenty of tons layered throughout that year, including a couple of 110, 120-plus scores. Then in 2016, again, three or four scores of 95, 99, 101, 106, 113. The guy, when he's fitting on the park, can score well. And if he was able to deliver somewhere an average around those early 80 markers, you're starting to get him in a similar position where guys that are currently placed, such as Devon Smith, Josh Kennedy, Robbie Gray, who in Dream Team and Fantasy are all placed in an average perspective, of 81, 82, 83. Now, some of those guys may average more, but you're going to be getting them a lot earlier in the draft than when you look to pick up Alan Christensen. If you can get a guy as your final forward who's going to push that average of 80, if not go a little bit more, then go for it. Now, if you're a little bit concerned about the injuries, don't worry about that. All you need him to do, at very worst, is get through the preseason and play a couple of games. Then look to sell him quickly if you're not confident in his body for a guy that's got a little bit more durable history, or to maybe fix up a line that wasn't as strong for you in your draft. All of a sudden, you could be eliminating risk and getting rid of a guy that could break down. Or the other positive is you trust his body and you've picked up an 80-plus averaging forward for next to nothing. Moves like that are going to win you your draft.
Yeah, that's, man, it's great to hear MJ back for starters. He's one of my favourite hosts, fantasy footy pod-wise. But, you know, what can you say on Christensen? He's been a fantasy scorer in the past, a proven fantasy scorer in the past, and he's looked good this preseason. I know on the weekend it was very wet, wasn't really his conditions, but, you know, he will be going late, and I guess he's been talked up more from a salary point of view, but I don't mind it. I don't mind it. If he can recapture his best, he's certainly going to provide you a hell of a lot of bang for your buck. And, you know, it's not soft tissue injuries, is it, when you break your collarbone? So I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to say great to hear MJ's voice. There's no doubts about that. Really enjoyed the content he's given us over many years. I'm a little bit nonplussed with that one, although I can absolutely see the benefit, and it's a risky pick. And I love people doing that in this segment, to be fair. His ADP is 161, gentlemen. And I had a quick look, us doing our keeper draft today, and looking at the picks between 17 and 18. And I think there was a few high-quality players that probably give you a little bit more security with their score. But if he can get round his career high numbers, so you're talking the 85 to 90 average, so therefore you're talking an F2 and F3 for the value of an F5, then it could be very important to set up your team for a win.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for a bloke who breaks his collarbone sitting in a team meeting. I mean, how do you even do that?
Well, you know, we know what's his name? Leper like Bundy to strangle his players, so that's always a bit of a... Maybe he got a strampling. Maybe Robert Walls paid him a visit. Who knows?
It's quite possible, but it is a great pick. I do like that late round value you can get there for Alan Christensen. Our next one is from the winner of AFL Fantasy, Moira's Magic. And here is his hot take on who he's going to pick for his fantasy BNF.
G'day guys, Selby here, coach of Moira's Magic. I'm here today to provide my nomination for the Draft Doctor's Best and Fairest. And the player I'm nominating today is a guy I drafted with my first pick in the draft we did last week. And I actually copped a bit of flack for picking this guy in the first round. People thought I reached and could have got him in the second and third round. So I certainly rate him in the top five players in the fantasy game. So if you are to get him in the second or third round, as people suggest you might be able to get him, then he'll certainly go a long way to you winning your draft comp. And that player's Mitch Duncan. So in terms of fantasy, the way I look at my team and selecting my team, I do run my own numbers and sort each player by relevant categories, which I think are most important to fantasy. And Dunk seems to tick all those boxes. So first being age profile, he's going into his ninth year in the comp. He's in his peak. His averages are on the way up. He's always been a scorer since the start, Dunks. He got 70 in his first year, and since then he's progressed the 80s and 90s. And then last year we saw his big breakout year where he got that 115. But it's more about his ceiling and his floor which attracts me to Mitch Duncan, especially in draft where you do have your captains on, or if you do have your captains on, you want your captain to have the ability to punch out a high score, and Dunks can do just that. His high score last year was 169, which compares favourably with all those ranked ahead of him except for Tom Mitchell. He's got Danger covered, Ablett covered, Kelly, Dusty Martin. He's got a higher ceiling than them, or proved to have a higher ceiling than they did last year. But what's even more important is that floor. With a captain and your first draft pick, I tend to avoid those players who are susceptible to a tag and prone to punching out or getting restricted to a low score. And Dunk's low score last year was just 91. So, again, that's better than anyone above him, barring Tom Mitchell, who, as we know, is all in a league of his own. So he ticks the box in terms of ceiling and floor. He avoids the tag, so he's almost fourth in the pecking order down at Geelong with Ablett there now and Danger and Selwood. So I can just see him going along again his merry ways and consistently getting those scores in the 100 with the ability to go even higher, as we saw in the finals. So finals is another one I look at, especially as this score's not built into a player's average on the site. And this is where you can get a bit of a jump on the opposition. And Dunks went 146 in last year's final series, which is amazing scoring. So he's showing he can prove that he can score higher consistently and certainly up there with the top three or four midfielders in the comp. The way he gets those plus sixes, which we all love as fantasy coaches, he's such good use of the footy. So the Geelong Cats seem to like to get the ball in his hands and he uses it well, but he also wins on the inside, tackles hard and does everything he wants as a fantasy coach. And if you can get him in the second round or third round even, then I think you've got a true first rounder capable of scoring like the big boys at the top. So if you do pick Dunks, let us know on Twitter. My handle is Marrera_Magic. We can cheer his plus sixes together. As I said, I also do a fair bit of research and stats, and I'm actually going to provide some of these findings to my followers, so feel free to follow me on Twitter, and I wish you all the best for the year. Cheers, guys, and go Dunks.
Yeah, love that that pick, and obviously, you know, congratulations on winning the fantasy competition, and we've got the spreadsheet from the great man himself, and I think he's still running the charity thing. Donate $25 to Marrera's Magic at the Starlight Foundation thing on... I forget the thing. What are those? GoFundMe. And it's certainly a valuable cause, but the pick is... I love the pick. I mean, those are some crazy numbers. I think you'll probably get Duncan in the second round, depending on where you are in the second round. The thing about getting him in the first round is you've kind of built in a lot of that value. I mean, if you're picking at pick one, you're not going to pick Mitch Duncan over Titch, but if you're picking at the back end of the first round, I mean, that's... I mean, that sounds like great value, but if you're getting him in the second round, I think that's where he sets up as the real league-winning move, if those numbers are to repeat.
Yeah, absolutely, gentlemen. It's funny, he's one of the most underrated fantasy scorers going around. Even his coach said a couple of years ago when his scores were declining that they played him out of position. My concern with Geelong midfielders, or potential midfielders, is the quality that they've got. But now with, as we know, Ablett's missed JLT, certainly injury concerns there, and now Danger's got a hamstring complaint, it certainly opens up that he's going to have a pretty bright early part of the season, and when in good form, very hard to take him out of the guts. And he's absolutely right. He's not going to be tagged, gentlemen. He's just going to keep plugging away and getting those scores. And they're the fantasy guns, the ones that are great footballers, but a little bit undervalued by the opposition because they're just the workhorse that does it. They're not the flashy ones that grab the attention. So, and I've underrated Duncan for quite a while, so I love that pick when you're talking being the fantasy best and fairest, because most people probably overlook him, and we probably did that with Dustin, and we probably do it with Gibbs on a regular basis. They're just undervalued players, so you can actually get them in really good values in some draft. Just had a look at his ADP. We're talking 20, so we're talking late in the second round is his average draft position. So if you can hold off and get him late, as you suggested, Steve, and he be your number two player, then you've got two captain options, and that is just magnificent.
Jump in and say, like, I always think people bagging out people for going early, but if you want a guy, just go get him. Just go get him.
Exactly.
That's just crap, to be honest.
And the way with the Cats setting up in that midfield, we've been talking about it all preseason. We think Ablett and Danger are going to be those rotating midfielders where Duncan and Selwood are going to be those constants in the midfield because they can't really play any other positions. So they're going to be there getting all the points, attending the centre bounces. But a great pick. I love it. And next BNF person is Dr. Supercoach Chizo from Dr. Supercoach himself. And he's given us this doozy.
Lads, Chizo here. Now, before Statesman starts rolling his eyes because I'm about to start talking Supercoach drafting, I just want to say that this will be applicable to all your typical scoring systems because my draft strategy is to try and lock in value with every pick, and someone I see with a lot of draft value this season is Luke Parker. Coming off a career best season in 2016, averaging 112 in Supercoach, he backed it up in 2017 with a disappointing average of 99. This ranked him 26th overall in Supercoach and 21st as a midfielder based on total points. Now, for this reason, you're more than likely going to see coaches staying away from him with their early picks, and in some leagues, you may even see him slip out of the first couple of rounds if a ruck or defender run occurs. It's the back end of 2017 that has me so bullish on Parker this year. To start last year, Sydney lost their first six games, and by the mid-season bye, Parker was only averaging 90. After turning for home, he stepped his game up, averaging 107 on the way home. At the SCG, the deviation was even worse, averaging 87 pre-bye, 111 post-bye. And Parker's record at the SCG is phenomenal. In 2016, he averaged 116 there. The back end of the season was when we saw his 110-plus average that he's given us in the past. Parker is a genuine goal-kicking midfielder. He's kicked the third most goals from a pure midfielder since 2013, only trailing Brownlow medalists Danger and Dusty. He also excels as a forward target, ranking fourth in the competition for winning one-on-one contests from midfielders, again trailing three Brownlow medalists Danger, Dusty and Fife. In Supercoach, these three guys are nearly always first-round picks, but instead you'll get Parker for a steal if you're smart about it. Now, draft is also about picking durable players. Gary Ablett had the fourth highest average for a midfielder last year, but only played 14 games. Parker, on the other hand, has played 113 out of a possible 116 home and away games going back the previous six seasons. That's a big tick. On top of that, he's shown a solid ceiling, hitting 150s in the past, and he's got a pretty decent floor. Given a poor year last year, his lowest score was still only 72. And if you're looking for a comparison average-wise, he's someone in the same ballpark as Paddy Cripps with a high 90s average, but just imagine the pick you'll have to give up to get Cripps in a Supercoach draft in comparison to Parker. You could even get Parker a few rounds later than Cripps for a similar or even better output. So for those reasons, I think he's good value. Would love to know your thoughts, lads. Cheers.
Chizo, I am never, ever going to roll my eyes when you're talking my boy Blue. Lukey Parker is a jet. We all know that he actually struggled early last year because he came off operations. He didn't have the preseason. He was underdone. The year before, when he was 23 years of age, was his breakout year, 110-plus in Dream Team. He's going to back that up even bigger next year, and the last JLT game showed us what this boy can do. Contestable star. He has got pace. I know he's a bigger inside midfielder, but he can break away. He can take a fantastic contested mark in the forward line when resting, and aren't those type of players superb, aka Paddy Dangerfield? If you can go forward and actually hit the scoreboard, so you're scoring while you're resting, they are the best midfield you can get. His ADP is 36. In the Dream Team Shiver Division 1 that was just played out today, Parker went in the third round at number 30. That is top-end value. For a fantasy BNF, you can get a captain option in the third round. That is brilliant, gentlemen.
Yeah, just also wanted to throw out that most of these people have actually recorded their sections before any of the JLT matches. So I know it sounds like this now, but because Parker's absolutely brained it on the weekend, so did Mitch Duncan, but these were recorded before that. Love the pick, had him last year, did come home fantastically well. Imagine that, starting out your draft with, say you wanted to go Rory Laird in the first round and then being able to pick up Mitch Duncan and then Lukey Parker. Wouldn't you be sitting pretty with your team there? But I love the pick, think it's great.
Now, I will say with the Dream Team Shiva Division 1 draft that was held today, the person that got number one pick, of course, he went Titch. On the return of pick 24, he got Lachie Neal. And then on the return after that, he actually got Sloan, but actually had his choice of Jacobs, Parker, Hibbard, Lloyd, or Sloan. All those were on the board. Wow. So he actually could have walked away with Titch, Neal, and Parker, but still got Titch, Neal, and Sloan. That's fantastic startup drafting, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Amazing value too as well. I'm pretty bullish on Lukey Parker. Big fan of his, being a local Frankstonite. Steve, he is, Lang Warren boy.
Langy, yes.
Langy rat, hanging out in front of the BP on Cranbourne Road there. Classic. Well,
hopefully he wasn't eating at the Lang Warren Hotel, which we all love to avoid.
No, a purebred footballer like himself, he'll be staying away from there, but certainly a value pick this year. Our next one pick comes from all the way from South Australia. It's our good friend, the Phantom, from his Phantom Den there. His podcast is fantastic. Make sure you check it out. And he has asked us, if you want to check out his preseason articles, just go to the advertiser. .com.au where you can check out all his articles there for the pre-season. But here is the Phantom's BNF.
Hello, Draft Doctors and listeners. This is the Phantom speaking. Firstly, congratulations on your 150th podcast. The Phantom has loved your work from day dot. As you know, as I've told you before on the side, I am a secret draft enthusiast. Now, of course, I had to come back on the show after last year. It was the first time the Josh Kelly prediction went on record. So, of course, I had to mention that again, as you were probably expecting. I did ask you guys if you could just play that one again for me. But now I've come up with something else for you. This guy appeals in all forms, I believe. Supercoach especially. But, you know, could be a nice, a late-round pick in any draft. I speak of none other than Riley Bonner, young Port Adelaide defender. The 20-year-old has only played 4 career games, but they have been good ones. In the cutthroat high-pressure elimination final between Port and West Coast last season, a game which we know was riddled with mistakes, only 2 players finished with no clanger to their name. One was veteran Eagle forward Josh Kennedy, and the other was the fourth gamer Bonner. Some might say, oh, how many touches did he have, 5 or 6? No, Bonner had 19 touches at 84% efficiency, and that mirrored his previous 3 games too. Round 23, Bonner recorded 17 disposals at 82% and 18 disposals at 88% in his first game for the year in round 22. Something that did ruin his fantasy price in the previous year. In 2016, the final game, Bonner was picked to play against the Gold Coast, had 22 touches, 625 metres game, 76 Supercoach points. And we know he had to wait the majority of 2017 for his second senior appearance. But the Phantom does know he's had a big pre-season. He's doing a lot of work with the best 22 group over summer. As we saw in the summer showdown at the weekend, the power liked to get the ball in his hands coming out of defence. He had more than 20 touches against the Crows, again, over 80% efficiency. He doesn't make many mistakes, and that's why they trust him with the footy. So I think this is the year he locks down the spot in Ken Hinckley's best 22, and I can't see him not being there in Port Adelaide's back six, especially with the latest hamstring setback to Jasper Pittard. So he's going to be a great Supercoach scorer, given his ball use and his run out of defensive 50, but because Port will look to use him at all times, and they've shown during the JLT series they like to share the ball around back there, I think he's going to be a great fantasy prospect in all forms this season. So, again, if he's still there in the late rounds in your draft, the Phantom thinks you should snap him up. Now, he might not be the Josh Kelly of 2017, but I think this is definitely the year Riley Bonner takes another step up. Thanks, Doctors.
Yeah, thanks to the great man over there in South Australia for reminding us of his glory days when he was picking Josh Kelly. But, no, look, you got to be honest. Like, it looked like a bit of a... an absolute battle back there with old man Broadbent and Darcy Byrne Jones and Jasper Pittard and Hamish Hartlett and all the other weapons. Oh, the
and
cannon.
Houston
and the cannon. There was
Dougal players. Howard, Trengo.
Well, let's not go crazy. Trengo, he plays for your team, yeah. Oh, no, the other
Trent
Trengo.
McKenzie, I suppose, meant to say.
Anyway, but things have opened up because Broadbent's Well, I don't know what happened. He's just gone missing. Statesman, maybe you can provide us the report. But yeah, Justin Pilar.
Hey, I didn't draft him today, mate.
Neither did I.
He wasn't happy in all fairness.
He's ended up in my team, but I certainly never selected him. But yeah, no, I got to love the pick. And if it's a late round flyer, because he's going to be one of your, he'd be what, your 20th pick. Third year potential breakout. If it doesn't work out, you throw it back in the pool. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't cost you anything. But these are the picks that can absolutely win you a draft league.
Yeah, I will say in an ADP of 233, that's pretty juicy. I was hot on him last year, but he just didn't get the games and the opportunities. I think he played 4 games in total. So I love the pick, to be honest. I think there's a lot of fighting for the spot, but if he can nail the spot, he's already proved that he can get a fair bit of the footy. Was great in state league and also great in his junior career for collecting the peel. So if any of that comes true, then he's going to be great value. And people are picking him up basically as a bench player. But he's got the potential to be in the low to mid-80s as a defender. And that's a D3. So if you can pick up a D3 that's sitting on basically on the waiver wire for you, depending on the size of your league, then that's quite healthy. Good pick.
Heading into the home straight now, and we've got the big dog here from the Dream Team Talk. It is Warnie himself, and no guesses as to who he's got.
G'day, this is Warnie here from DT Talk. It's time to look at my fantasy MVP for 2018. Now, this bloke is ranked at 18 of all midfielders by Steve Fizz, and John Crockett still has him at a lowly 12. It is the fantasy pig, Tom Rockliffe. Now, I know what everybody's thinking. Oh, everyone's going to be going, oh, injury, blah, blah, blah. Oh, roll, blah, blah, blah. No, this is Tom Rockliffe. We've got to remember his history. In his third year, he went at 112, and in 2014, then he broke the fantasy record for the highest average. That's 134.7, and he still holds that bad boy. Now, last year, his average of 103 was his lowest return for 5 years, making him an absolute bargain this year in all forms of fantasy. Remember where that 103 came from? He only had one ton after round 8. That's when, after he did his shoulder and returned, and was clearly hampered by that. He had some off-season surgery, so he's going to be absolutely cherry ripe for that injury. And you just have to remember what his role was before that injury. He was in the guts and was a contested beast. Now, his scores, let's just reel those off for those first 8 rounds. 127, 123, 106, 157, 124, 100, 167, and 130. Absolute machine. Now, after that injury, the tackles were down and the role was awful. That's not going to be happening. He's gone to Port Adelaide. Don't buy into their stuff that they're saying he's playing forward. He's one of the best contested players in the game. Statistically, last year, prior to that injury, he was the number one player. Now, the injury history, you can't ignore it. He hasn't played 22 games since 2012. He's had some knee soreness this preseason, but as they say, they don't send a black caviar out to the country meet. So expect him to be ready for round one and good to go for that. He'll be playing mostly guts. We all know that. Don't buy into any of that stuff that we were talking about. If he is forward, though, you'll actually have blokes that can kick it to him. I am banking on him to have a 120 average at an absolute minimum, and I'll be backing the pig for 22 games this year. If Rocky is still left on the board anywhere from, you know, pick 5 onwards, I'm on board.
Now, I've got to say, Warnie, congratulations. Firstly, you've picked a player that isn't playing for Essendon. And secondly, you picked a player that's in the best 22 for their current club. Hey. That's fantastic. That's a great start. But in saying that, he is right. This player is true value. And it's because of the injury history, he's had a decline in form. He was an ADP of 2 right across the board last year. This year, his ADP is 25. If he goes anywhere close, I mean talking within 15 points of his potential, then he is going to be in the top 4 scorers in any of the competitions, which is just outstanding. It's a risky pick, but it could have huge rewards. So if you pick him up, and I'm looking at a couple of drafts now, see him being picked up late in the second round, you're getting probably one of the better captain options sitting as your number two. That is absolutely fantastic. Yes, there's risk, but a magnificent pick by Warnie there.
Yeah, I got to be honest, this is you know, you mentioned where we've got him ranked, and I look at, you know, I know Warnie won't mind me saying these things, but like you look at the Dream Team, the AFL Fantasy writers and the AFL media and all that, and they're picking Rocky in the first round, they're picking Ablett in the first round, they're picking Beams at the back. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I want someone else to have that problem. That's why he's ranked at 18. I'm never going to... Well, I might get him because people are kind of down on Rocky. Like, Jono, we've got our Supercoach draft. I wouldn't be shocked if Rocky was in the third round because we're just...
I'd be happy with him. As an M3, I'd be very safe to take him there.
But we're just out on him, and I just can't wear the risk. Yes, the history's there, but even when he did the 130, he missed four games. Like, it's... Yep. I just can't have it. Like, if it comes off, and if you get Rocky in the second round and he plays... Even if he plays 20 games and he's fit for the whole 20 games, yes, he will be the fantasy best and fairest. Yes. It just terrifies me. It just terrifies me. He'd need to go to the back of the second for me to consider him.
And at the end of the day, this is a risky pick, but it's a risky pick that has massive reward. That's why I love it for a fantasy BNF call. It's got the Josh Kelly, Phantoms Josh Kelly call, all over it, because if it falls into place for him this year and he plays 22 games and averages 122, that's a big tick in the box.
Yeah, no doubt.
But we also haven't seen what position he will be playing because he's still getting over these injuries. So.
Correct.
Because he's injured.
He's injured now.
He's injured still. Will he play round one? We don't know.
I don't know. But if you pull it off, if you get him in round two and it comes off, man, beast, you win. You win.
As I say, be fair to Warnie here. At least he's picked a player that's in their best 22 when fit.
No. We'll be absolutely fair. We love Warnie. We do.
He's a great man.
Absolutely.
Moving on. Steve, why don't you kick us off with your fantasy BNF for 2018?
All right. Well, just... Why not? And of course, my fantasy best and fairest is the great man, Jesse Hogan. It could only be because, quite frankly, you're getting someone who's potentially an F1 in round 14 onwards. I'm seeing people tell me Jesse Hogan went undrafted in my league. I got Jesse Hogan in round 20 in my league. People, this is unbelievable. And the best part about it is this is going to happen in most drafts. He'll go in round 14 in all these drafts because he only averaged 70 last year. We know what a disaster of a year it was. If you've been listening to the pod, we've spoken about it. The injuries happened. The cancer happened. The death happened. Tough times for Jesse Hogan, and he smoked his way through it all. Love that. But the 70's broken down. So he only played the 10 games. He still banged out 3 Supercoach tons, still banged out 2 Dream Team tons. We know at the same stage of his career compared to Buddy Franklin, he's scored more tons, he's kicked more goals. He's one of the best young talents going around, and we're just forgetting about him. People are picking Charlie Curnow over Jesse Hogan, which just blows my mind. If Jesse Hogan doesn't outscore Charlie Curnow, I'll run the bloody 90 Mile Beach. Like, just forget about it. The injury game, obviously round 23, got injured, broke his collarbone. Round 19, got injured, got suspended at the start of the year. Those injury scores keeping his average down. I'm all over Jesse Hogan. If you've been listening to the pod, you'll know all about it. You're probably sick of me talking about it. But I think I really don't see how he doesn't average over 88 as long as he stays fit. We know Melbourne are a team on the rise. He runs through the middle. His 2 JLT games have been awesome. He's turned up. Just giddy up, Jesse Hogan. He'll return top 15 forward value for you.
Yeah, your stats are undeniable. I probably had him ranked pretty low, and you smacked us with stats about 3-4 weeks ago, Steve. So I agree you're going to get him very late, as you're saying, in some drafts, not even picked up. So therefore, that is high quality. And as you say, if you get an F1 and F2 so late, whether it be a waiver wire pickup or after round 20... then that is going to help you get into the top four. No doubt, good pick.
Yeah, I just want to say on these, like, to me, it's really hard to pick super breakouts this year. There's a couple floating around, but it's... it doesn't seem like there's the Josh Kelly really obvious one for me this year. I think Jesse's the probably the closest thing we can get to someone who we can really bank on.
To be fair, and I don't think we read it that well. Obviously, the Phantom did. But I can't remember the three of us being really hot on Josh Kelly at the beginning of last year.
No, we weren't, but there were other coaches who were, but the thing was, he wasn't going in round three or four, he was going in round eight or nine, so...
Yeah, absolutely. So I think each year, there's a lot of people that we say they're ready, they're due, it's their third year, it's their fifth year. There's quite a few that we always have in that bracket, but it's a lot small percentage that really, truly break out, and... If it's someone obvious, we all know about it and we're all over it. I mean, Isaac Heaney was one last year we were expecting a big rise for. No doubt the glandular fever probably held him back from, you know, the high sort of lifts. But most of them come unawares. And those that do the research and pick them, like the Phantom did Kelly, is a big tick in the box. And they're the ones that do really, really well. Those that got on Mark Murphy early last year, and people were probably bagging him out, like many people have already bagged this year, and other people getting hot on someone. If someone went Mark Murphy in the fifth round last year, they probably got laughed at because you're going on a bit of history.
Yep.
But he was just sensational.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I see the same thing with Jack Steve, and I see the same thing with Luke Hodge. I know they're later guys, but, no, you know, I'm all about it.
All right, Statesman, who have you got for your fantasy BNF?
Well, to be honest, my gut reaction to this year's BNF was Lachie Whitfield, a highly talented player who is now ready to deliver in terms of fantasy football. He looks like being the perfect cover for the loss of Williams and Wilson, but there are two reasons holding me back from making that call. Number one, lessons learnt. Warney picked Stanton last year. You haven't heard me ever say that before, gentlemen, on the basis that he will be a ball magnet, and he was training and playing pre-season in defence. Did he get that positional change? No, he didn't. Therefore, we really can't take what we see in the JLT as gospel. So the answer is no, we can't confirm that he's going to get defender status. If he ends up playing most of his time on the wing, then he ends up being a 100 to 105 point midfielder. That's an M2 or really M3 material. So he's not going to be a fantasy BNF there. The second one is gut feel. And if we base our decisions on Jono's gut feel theory, then we're going to get more wrong than right. Although it does have its benefits when we end up with a higher draft pick the following year, Jono, which you experience quite regularly. So that leaves me what I think is the most important pick you can make. And until the weekend, he would have been much greater value, but he's a little bit less now. But looking at the DT Shiver draft that happened today, he still made it to the last pick in the second round. And it's a proven theory, gentlemen. If your name is Lachie and you play for Fremantle, you're a gun. Yep, Lachie Neale, an ADP of 38. 38 ADP this year. He's set to head back up the leaderboard and be a top six midfielder. Yes, it's rare to get a captain choice in the third round. Even Luke Parker has a lower ADP of Lachie Neale. 169 is his highest score, with many 140-plus scores in both formats to his name. He's only missed two games in the last four seasons, so he's durable and plays when injured, gents. Fit and firing, this is going to be a huge season for the Lachie boy.
Yeah, I got no doubt about that. How he's so low in the ADP is bewildering. I mean, we do the using the mock draft site, he's a top 10 pick in the Supercoach format, especially. Like, I've got pick 6 in our home league this year, and Lachie Neale's in play for me. So how he's going at the third round is staggering.
Well, I'll put it this way. I think we've had a lot of questions about the mock draft website, but the one thing I see with the AFL Fantasy and the Ultimate Footy is you've got to take into account that those ADPs have every selection. So if someone's on auto draft, Lachie Neale, because of his average last year, has gone quite low. The Draft Doctor's mock draft website, all the ADPs are off user recorded picks. No auto draft. So Lachie Neale is actually going at ADP of 7 in Supercoach and an ADP of 20. Wow. An ADP of 20 for your Dream Team format. So I think, you know, when you can't say that's not more realistic as to what you'd expect in draft. And also, just on Lachie Neale, one thing we got heaps and heaps of questions about Lachie Neale, Jono, because I had him ranked at 6 for Dream Team. I don't know where you had him, but it was obviously pretty high as well.
I can't remember off the top of my head, no.
People were, why Lachie Neale so high? Why Lachie Neale? Mate, it's clear as day after the weekend.
And look at the data, look at the history.
And he's fit, and you just look at the... You don't have to draft him at 6. We're not saying you have to draft him at 6, no. And that's the best part. You get him at pick 14. Although maybe after the weekend you won't, because he obviously blew it up. But
no.
You know, a lot can change, and that's the thing. But, you know, I think it's a great pick. Absolutely love it. The people are down on him, and, you know, like I said, we had him super high. People wanted to know why. The proof's in the pudding.
Well, they've been looking pretty good this year, the Frio Dockers, so who the hell knows what's going on? Maybe they make it back up into the top 8.
Maybe, John. We know you love the Dockers, so I don't know.
Well, the way Matty Tabner's kicking goals left, right and centre.
Yeah, yeah. He's looked good. You've got to give due.
Hey, Matty Tabner got drafted in the keeper today. All right, finishing it off with my fantasy BNF, and that is Smokin' Joe Danaher. That's right, I have picked an Essendon player. I feel sick in my guts, but I'm all about Smokin' Joe Danaher this year. We've seen he's a 60-plus goal kicker. He's going to be spending, in my opinion, more time up the ground because Essendon's forward line now is pretty flexible. You've got Hooker, Stringer, Fantasia, Lunchmeat, Tipper... even Stewart, all rolling through there. He's not going to be staying at home as that mark kick goal kicker. He's going to be pushing up the ground, and they're not going to be playing Tom Bell Chambers and Leuenberg at the same time. He'll be taking the ruck hitouts. He actually had 73 hitouts last year. That can increase even more. If he's getting more marks in the link in the chain from defence, the points are going up and up and up. He's a durable player as well. The last 3 years... he hasn't missed a game. That's 66 out of 66 in the home and away season. He doesn't miss a game. And if you look at it, back in 2016, when the players were all banned, that was his fifth year. This will be his real fifth year with all the players back. So a lot of experience around him. You've got an improved midfield there with Lunchmeat, Heppel and all that back, giving him the supply. Great contested mark, especially in your super coach where that's your more points. I'm really liking Joe Danaher. He averaged in the mid-80s, 85 and 86 in both formats last year. ADP of 92.9 on Ultimate Footy. That's just crazy talk if you're getting Joe Danaher there. He's someone who can average in the mid-90s and be a F1 for sure this year.
I'm not on board. I've got to be honest. I don't like it. Sorry to throw some shade at you there, Jono. I don't understand why he scores more when the midfield just looks crummy for Essendon. That's my big question. Yeah, I'm not
Essendon's midfield.
Yeah, I'm not sold on where the improvement comes from. Well, that's just me. I don't know. I think if you got him in round 8 or 9 or whatever it is, he needs to be a top, I don't know, 5 forward. I don't think he can do it.
Oh, I think he does. His numbers are up there in the Nick Riewoldt style when he gets all the marks, pushes up the ground, plays on that wing in the transition play. That's where his numbers are at. That's where they're very similar to the Nick Riewoldt, and we all know what Nick Riewoldt does, sure. Don't we, Statesman?
Oh, look, I could be very wrong. Could be very wrong on this one, Jono. And I love your gumption in going for him, and I'm sure you'll get him in most of your drafts, and good luck. I hope it works out because I love watching him play.
Mm.
And all I can say, Jono, is thank you for finally reading my article last year.
well, I actually wrote an article all on my own without taking anything from you this year. Thanks for reading mine.
Well, I will say to honestly, if you actually selected all the players that we mentioned today, you got the basis of a really strong squad, and some are deep value, some are a value at the top end, multiple captain choices there. And I reckon in a decent draft, then you've got a chance to actually pick all of those players up. Might be a miss one or two in round three or four, but I reckon you get most of them, and I reckon your squad will be looking pretty good.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, there's a pretty good mix of players. We know a lot of people picked some of the guys we mentioned last year and they had really good years. So why not? I mean, I just want to say thanks to everyone for their time. I mean, we had a lot of fun doing it. It's great to get different opinions. Absolutely love it. And, yeah, thanks so much to everyone for their time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no one's wrong. It's just some people are just more right than others.
A few shout-outs for everyone who was on board for the show. We had the OTLS boys, Zeno and Archie. You can find them at OTLS_Zeno and OTLS Archie. MJ from the coaches panel, thank you very much. You can find him on Twitter at MJWant. Morera, I can never pronounce his name. Morera's Magic is at Morera's Magic. It's MORERIAS Magic. Warnie from Dream Team Talk, thank you very much. You can find him on Twitter at WarnieDT. Chizo from Dr. Supercoach. You can find him on Twitter at Chizo_DRSC. And you've also got the Phantom at the Phantom SC on Twitter as well.
Okay.
And if you want to find us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. Check us out on Facebook as well. And the websites, thedraftdoctors.com.au and the mock site, mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thank you very much, and we hope you enjoyed the show.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.